It's good to be back after another week of holidays, and that was my last week of holidays for the summertime, and so we're just getting right back into preparing for the fall season of ministry here at the church, and we all know that that takes a lot of planning, of preparation, and there's some really exciting things that are coming up. The fall festival that you've been starting to hear a little bit about, that's going to be on August the 30th, and we're just very much excited about how God is going to continue to do his work of building his kingdom, expanding his forever family through the work of our hands here at Edmiston Heights. And part of the way in which these ministries and these things happen is through our giving, through our sowing into the work of the ministry here, our time, our talents, and our treasures. And so today's message, is one of the law of sowing and reaping, about the grace of giving. We've been doing a series of messages over the last 3 or 4 months on stewardship 101. When God gives us the resources, how are we to respond to him? And in our studies so far, I've shared with you 3 foundational truths. The first of those foundational truths is that God the Father has given to us generously. How many would agree? God gives generously to us. And how are we to respond? We're to follow his lead. We're to follow his example in giving generously. Second thing that we've learned so far is that the Spirit enables our giving. And therefore, we are to excel in the grace of giving. The Spirit of God is the one that enables us to follow God's lead, empowers us in every way to be generous. One of the fruits of the Spirit is the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity. Right? It's part of the fruit of the Spirit, is giving generously. And the Spirit of God enables us. And it's the cross of Jesus Christ, which is our inspiration for giving. In that short little video that we saw, part of the whole thing is that God has shown us his example for us in giving us his firstborn son, Jesus, his only son, to redeem us, to save us, so that we could enter into the blessings that God has poured out for us. So in the fact that the cross of Christ is our inspiration for giving, it means that we give in response to God's gift of grace to us in Jesus. So those are the foundational principles that we've looked at so far. And then a couple, 2 months ago, we looked at this whole thing about what is faithful stewardship. And faithful stewardship is simply managing what God has entrusted to us and using the resources that God has given to us to fulfill the purpose for which God has called us into his kingdom, into his family. And so we learned from the parable of the tenants that Jesus spoke to his disciples in Matthew 25, 15 to 30, we learn 2 valuable lessons about stewardship, true stewardship. In that parable, Jesus talked about how each servant, a master was going away and gave his servants some money to look after. And each servant was given a supply of resources to use in their master's absence. One was given 10 bags of gold, another one was given, or 5 bags of gold, one was given 2 bags, and one was given 1 bag. And what were they supposed to do with that? Well, each servant was expected to generate a proportionate return for their master. So they were to take what had been given to them and multiply it so that when their master returned, they could show their master what they had done with the resources that they had been given. And so each servant was expected to take what was given to them and to use it for God's purposes. The Lord doesn't, and what we learn from that is proportionate giving is an individual responsibility. The Lord does not give us all the same resources to work with, nor does he expect us all to be able to give at the same level. Before he has created each one of us with a unique abilities and talents and given each of us different means and resources, and we are all functioning in different circumstances of life. Therefore, what does God expect of us as his servants and faithful stewards? He expects of us to use what we have been given, no more, no less. And so we understand that proportionate giving is our individual responsibility. And our proportionate giving responds to the real and present needs that are before us. So when there's a great need, well, we look at the resources that we have and we give proportionately. We give out of what God has given to us. Everyone doesn't have the same ability to sow large amounts of resources into the kingdom causes, but everyone can sow a portion of what has been entrusted to them. And little becomes much when it is placed in the master's hands. And isn't that true of, when Jesus fed the 5,000? Remember that story? Jesus fed the 5,000. 5,000 people were there, and he said to his disciples, what do you have that we can feed all these people with? And they said, we can't find it. There's nothing here that... it would take a year's wages to feed all these people. And he said, well, feed them. And they went out and they found a little boy with 5 loaves and three fishes, and they brought them back to Jesus. And what happened? Jesus blessed that little that was there and multiplied it for the whole of the 5,000, fed everybody. Proportionate giving responds to a real and present need. And this brings us to the last thing that we learned the last time that we were together, is this, that equality of sacrifice is a desired goal. In the kingdom of God, faithful stewardship is not measured by how much we give each week in comparison to other people's giving. No, our stewardship is measured by our commitment to proportionate giving and equal sacrifice. So you see, what you give sacrificially might seem very small, but in proportion to other people who have a lot more or have been given a lot more resources, the sacrifice that is much bigger. And so, this is all shown in when we learned that valuable lesson from an old widow who Jesus commended for her sacrificial giving. Jesus used her example to teach his disciples about the principle of equal sacrifice. The rich gave, Jesus said, the rich give out of their wealth, but this woman who took one little coin that she had, gave it out of her poverty. That was everything that she had in the world, and she put it in as an offering to God. So if God has given us much, well, we're to be faithful in managing the much that he's given to us. And if he's given us a little, we're to be faithful in managing what he has given to us, the little that he's given to us. And we are to give proportionately for the building up of the kingdom. Whether he has given us much or whether he has given us little, we are to be willing and eager to engage in the grace of giving with a heart that's willing to give sacrificially according to our means. And so this is where we've been, okay? I wanted to lay that foundation again because it's so important for us to remember these principles, foundational principles. And so now we're going to go into another foundational principle, and that's the sowing and reaping principle. So we're going to continue our study today of the grace of giving, and we pick it up, our discussion on Stewardship 101, by focusing on this principle of sowing and reaping from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 11. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. For as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." In this short section of Scripture, Paul teaches us three very important things about the principle of sowing and reaping generously. And the first thing that he says to us is this. He says, "Remember this." Remember this. You know, it's really interesting when he says, "Remember this," he's wanting them to take note of something that he has been saying to them and is about to say to them as of first importance. And actually, he's saying, "Remember this," and he's saying, "Commit this to memory. Commit this principle to memory." And, you know, he's basically saying, hold on to this truth. He's saying, write it down if you need to, and or record it on an audio file. That's what he would be saying today. Record it on an audio file so that you can listen to it over and over again, for this is one of the most important principles or pieces of information, the kingdom principle that is to guide our giving. And so what is this? What is this principle that he is saying that we are to remember? Well, it's the law of sowing and reaping. And this is what it is. Here it is. Whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. And whoever sows generously also reaps generously. How many have heard that saying before? You've heard it all before? Heard it before? Do you have it memorized? Do you have that memorized? Yeah. Well, okay. Just so that you'll memorize it today, we're going to say it all together. Okay, we're going to say it all together. So, you know, commit this to memory. Okay. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Okay, one more time, okay? We're getting it, okay? Whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Okay, I think you've got it, right? And I think we understand how this principle works in our everyday lives. You know, how many of you are gardeners? Anybody like to garden? Yeah, do a little bit of gardening? Well, we've been doing a little bit of gardening, and I know Ken and Ann Gill have been doing a little bit of gardening. And when we were talking yesterday, Ann was talking about how she took their dill seeds from this last year and spread them all out over parts of the garden. And, you know, they sowed very generously those dill seeds. And guess what they reaped? A lot of dill. Okay? So we understand what this principle is all about. And so let's look at this application that Paul is making now when he's talking about this. So, you know, the law of sowing and reaping is to serve as a guideline for how we give to the Lord. So, we are to give according to this kingdom principle. And so we're to let the law of the sowing and reaping serve as the guideline for our giving. For what we sow, so shall we reap. If we sow generously, what are we going to do? We're going to reap generously. That's what Paul said. If we sow sparingly, if we don't sow very much, then we're not going to see very much come back to us. And so this is the law of sowing and reaping. Generosity unto God will result in a harvest of righteousness. That's what Paul is saying here. Not just financially, but in all areas of our lives. You know, when we become a generous person, it's not just generosity in terms of money, giving money. It's generosity in how we give of ourselves to other people. How we give of our time. How we give out in terms of the love that we show to people. Do we withhold or do we give generously? So this law of sowing and reaping is not just about the financial side of things. It's about how we live in relationship with God and with others in all areas of our life, learning to be generous in our sowing and reaping. And so this is in all areas of life. So how does this work? Well, Paul gives us a frame-by-frame word picture as he describes the heart of someone who lives by the law of sowing and reaping. And he starts off by saying, every man or each man or each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Okay, when it comes to financial giving or in giving to other people, all of these other areas of our life, it starts with a premeditated action. Okay, it starts with a premeditated action. Each one of us must decide in our hearts what we're going to give, how we're going to give, how often we're going to give, what we're going to give. Because sowing generously doesn't just happen by accident. Sowing generously takes forethought and planning. It's a decision of our will to give. And so, you know, as we decide in our hearts what we're going to give, it's also, you know, that's an important thing to remember. It's a heart decision. It's the heart decision that we make. We give not reluctantly or under compulsion, Paul says, for God loves a cheerful giver. We're to give with a generous, free, and joyful motivation in our hearts. And that's where it really starts, isn't it? The motivation of our hearts in terms of giving. And in that small little clip that we saw this morning, there was an example of that that goes right back to the very beginning of all things, the genesis of faith and faithfulness, the story of Cain and Abel. Why was it that Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God and Cain's was rejected? Well, God knew the heart, the motive of the heart. What was Cain willing to give of his from his all of his the fruit of his labor? Well, he was holding stuff back. What was Abel giving? He gave the first fruits, the first of everything that he had been given by God. God knows the heart. And there's another story in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, that really illustrates this in terms of giving financially to God, sowing generously to God. And that's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. We all know that story, right? In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, we get the full story of Ananias and Sapphira. I'm just going to read the first four verses here, where just to give us a little bit of a taste of what this story was all about, because this is a story again about the motive of people's hearts. It says, "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have lied not just to human beings, but to God.'" You know, what this story shows is that God understands the motivation of our heart in terms of our giving. And how we give matters to God. And, you know, what we notice in this story is as we're introduced to Ananias and Sapphira, there are a couple of key words that indicate to us that this story is about the motivations of our heart. He says, and this couple also sold a piece of property. And what does, you know, these are the operative words in the story, because they point us back to something that happened before in Acts chapter 4, verses 36, where we're told about another man, Joseph of Cyprus, whose name was Barnabas, who was known as the son of encouragement. He also sold a field. He was the first one who sold the field and brought all the money and put it at the apostles' feet for distribution to those who were in need. He gave willingly the whole price that he had received for the land, because in his heart it was a premeditated decision to sell it all, to sell it, and then to give all of it back to the Lord, back to the work that was going on. So for him, it was a joyful expression of his desire to sow generously into the work that God was doing. And he held nothing back. But Ananias and Sapphira gave with a different motivation. They too saw Barnabas give that sell that land and give the money, and so they thought, "Well, he got a lot of kudos and a lot of high fives and a lot of pats on the back, and you know what? If we do something like that, then maybe we'll get acknowledged too." And so they sold a piece of land, but they decided, "You know what? We're going to hold some money back. We're going to keep something for ourselves. We're going to look after ourselves first. And then we're going to give the rest to God and his work." And so with the full knowledge of each other, they did that and they gave this money. And you know what? It was their right to hold back whatever money they had. It was all theirs to begin with. But what the problem was they said to everybody, "Here is the full price that we sold our property for. And we're giving it to God, just like Barnabas. We're giving this to God's work." And what they were doing was they were deceiving not only themselves, but they were trying to deceive the church into thinking that they were very generous in how they were giving of their resources. But in effect, they were thinking first of themselves, not of others. And so the story goes. You can read it for yourself in Acts chapter 5, verse 11, where God brings about judgment on Ananias and Sapphira. He struck them down as an example to the body of Christ that God is very concerned about the motive of our heart when we give. And so, Paul reminds us in this passage that we're looking at today from in 2 Corinthians, he reminds us that God loves a cheerful giver. Someone who gives with a joyful heart freely, not calculating what he or she might receive in return. Someone who is unafraid to give generously and joyfully. He calls them a cheerful giver. And, actually that word in the Greek actually means a hilarious giver. A hilarious giver. And I've been trying to wrap my mind around that, because, like giving hilariously, what does that look like? What does that mean? I think it means that someone giving hilariously is someone who gets a real delight in giving generously. And for them, to give is like taking a shot of laughing gas. All right, it just fills them with so much joy that I'm giving you $1 million and I love it. I'm giving you everything that I have, and I am just so full of joy that it doesn't matter. I am just giving it, and my heart is just so full because it's so freeing to be able to give to the needs of others, to give to God's work, to just give in such a way that others are blessed. Is that how we give? Is that how we give? Like so generously, so hilariously, that we're just so full of joy. That's what Paul's talking about here in terms of sowing generously. Sowing generously and joyously. It comes from a heart that is transformed by God's grace. You know, all those foundational principles that we talked about earlier, you know, when they are so much a part of our life, then joy, it becomes a joy to give generously. And when we give generously, what do we expect? You know, this is the law of sowing and reaping. What did it say? What you sow, so shall you reap. If you sow generously, what happens? You will reap generously. And so here's the next part of this for today. Reaping generously. What does it mean to reap generously according to the grace of God? You know, Paul tells us this. He says, you know, if we give hilariously, generously, joyously in all aspects of our life, financially and in terms of our compassion, our care, our love, our all of those different areas, if we begin to give generously to others, this is what God is able to do. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, and having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. You know, when we begin to adopt this right way of thinking, righteous way of thinking in terms of generosity, what happens? It begins to transform us from within by a whole new way of thinking, and we begin to live out and embody that practice of generosity every day, and our righteousness grows. Our right way of living, our way of being is transformed. It's changed by the grace of God. God has poured out his grace to us. And John Stott says this, if then we give in this spirit, what will happen? What harvest can we expect to reap? The answer, God is able to make all grace abound to you. God's grace begins to abound to you more and more and more. As you take on the nature of gracious, generous giving, God's grace begins to grow in you. And he is able to make it abound to you so that in all things, not necessarily in just material things, but on the one hand, you may have all that you need. You'll have all that you need. All that you need for life and for godliness, growing in his grace, growing in his ways. And on the other hand, you may abound in every good work. You will have more and more opportunities to give generously, to give hilariously, because God is giving you by his grace the things that you need so that you can bless others with what they need. This is the law of sowing and reaping. And he says, on the one hand, you may have all that you need, and on the other hand, you may abound in every good work, because your opportunities for further service will increase. And as the scripture says, the consequences of giving to the poor is that you have a righteousness which endures forever. The more you give to others, the more you care for others, the more God's grace and righteousness begins to grow within you as a fruit of the Spirit of God. And so, we reap. What do we reap? we reap a life transformed through generosity. Generosity. Paul talks about the cause and effect relationship of the law of sowing and reaping in verses 10 and 11. He says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Do you see the way this all works together? In response to our generosity, in response to the generosity that God has given to us, we become generous. And in being generous, then God pours out more of his blessings, more of his grace, more of himself to us generously. And we can see this. Paul says, you know, Paul said, "It is written," just a few moments ago. He said, "It is written." And what he was referring to was Psalm 112, verses 5-9, where he says, this is what begins to happen when we take on this generosity of giving, and then we begin to reap the blessings of God. He says, "Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor." You see, that's the quote that Paul uses there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He refers back to this psalm, and he's talking about the transformative effect of our generosity and how God blesses us. And so when we reap generously, or when we sow generously, we reap generously in all the good things of God. And our lives are transformed by God's grace and love towards us. You know, there is great blessing. There is great blessing in being a man or a woman who is rich towards God and others in the matter of sowing and reaping. It is a transformative practice. It's a transformative practice. It's one of our spiritual practices as those who are followers of Jesus Christ. We practice generosity by sowing generously, not in order to gain something in return, but what happens is the faithful steward who is generous in giving of ourselves towards God and holding nothing back and expecting nothing in return will in fact receive from God his grace, and we will receive everything that we need for life and for godliness, so that in all things, at all times, we will be able to abound in every good work. That's how this principle of sowing and reaping works. And it's amazing. It's amazing how when we choose to give in this way, God does amazing things in and through our faithful stewardship. Our practice of the law of giving, or of sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. So I encourage you today to take up that challenge, to not only just hear this principle, but to put it into practice. So now I'm going to test your memory again. All right? Whatever you sow, whoever sows generously will what? Reap generously. And whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. For what you sow, so shall you reap. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this simple reminder.